Romans chapter 1. Think of somebody, an individual, a name of somebody that made an incredible impact on your life. Maybe the most important impact. Who might that be? I don't have a hard time answering that question. You've got to be careful. My wife just stepped out so I could have a little more latitude here. Our spouse affects us, amen? You'd better name your spouse in that top two or three at least, and because we affect one another. Young people, be careful who you marry. I tell you, there's one decision that's the most important decision in life. That's getting saved. The second one is who you marry. That's just my opinion, but I believe I can see the impact of that. As a pastor, I've known too many people that married the wrong person and how miserable they can be. My father happens to be in that category. But who affected you? The man that really made the biggest difference in my life was a pastor named Thomas Corkish. I did his funeral August the 5th. I think it was the day. It was early August. And he made more difference in my life than anybody else because he preached the Bible. And he lived the Bible and he taught me the Bible. So, in Romans chapter 1, we meet again. We know him well because we read our Bible and we've read a lot of what he has had to say. But we meet him again and he introduces himself to us. And when you've read the Bible a number of times, a lot of the problem can be that you overlook little things that make a big difference. And so as we read Romans chapter 1, and I'll let you remain seated and just read a couple of verses here. The very first word is Paul. Now I got to ask you the question. Did he make the difference in a lot of people's lives? I think if you get to heaven, when you get to heaven and you see Timothy and you said, Timothy, outside the Lord Jesus Christ, who made the biggest difference in your life? No doubt about it, Paul. But how many other people are going to say that? I think a lot. Now, I want to ask you a question and get right into it here. Shouldn't we change somebody's life? Whose life are you changing? How do you change somebody's life? Well, it's all right here. We'll see it. Brother Sanchez is heavy on his heart that a lady's life didn't get changed and she stepped into eternity, and we regret she may have been unprepared. How do you change somebody's life? And whose life are you even trying to change somebody's life? You know, it's easy to not change. You just go along, right? Somebody says something wicked and you laugh at it, or somebody, you know, makes a decision that's ungodly and you go along with it, or someone decides to do things that honor the world and dishonor God and you approve of it. It's easy not to make changes. Paul, he says in verse 1. Now, what do we know about this man? What does he want us to know? Here's a good question. What does the Lord want us to know? Paul, first thing, a servant of Jesus Christ. Let's just stop right there. I expect you've probably heard somebody preach about the Greek word there, and I'm not going to get into this, but let's just stick with the word servant. First of all, why was he a servant? Oh, he had to be. He had no choice. Wrong. Now, you remember the story in the book of Acts where the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him on the road to Damascus. He was on his way to kill Christians. He was already guilty of killing Christians, and he was going to kill some more. And the reason he wanted to do that is because he believed that Jesus Christ was an imposter and that people that followed him were blaspheming God by claiming that Jesus was God. And if he wasn't God, it would have been blasphemy. Anybody who claims to be God and is not, that's blasphemy. And Paul was taking these people that said that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he was throwing them in prison and having them killed. And then he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Vision. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He heard the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did he say? What wilt thou have me to do, Lord? You know what happens, and you can get really metaphorical on this, but we got to be careful. I could say to you, have you seen the Lord Jesus Christ? You have not seen him visibly, But the Bible says that the Word of God is a perfect representation of who He is. If you've read the Bible, you've seen the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If anybody ever wants to know what's God like, just look at Jesus. He is God in the flesh. John 1:14. So maybe you have not seen Him like Paul saw that vision, but you've seen Him in the Bible. Have you heard Him? Well, that's easier. How hard is it to hear the Lord Jesus Christ? Just open your Bible and read. Here's a question. Did you hear Him today? Did you hear Him today? You could have. Young people, did you open your Bible today and listen to Jesus? Somebody says, I'm really excited about being a Christian. I think if you're excited about being a Christian, you should open your Bible and hear from Jesus every day. Amen? Amen? And if you've heard Him, why was Paul a servant? He had seen the Lord. He had heard the Lord. And the question really is not just, I'm not trying to change the Bible here, but he said, Lord, what will Thou have me to do? But what else can you do? I guarantee you, if you had the experience that Brother Sanchez had where he was exposed to a person stepping into eternity, that's very real. I've had that occasion to do that, mostly in the hospital. When somebody steps into eternity and you realize, I wonder if they were saved. Well, I hate to ask that question. I hope you know. Amen? I did a funeral for a lady. Her last name was McCoy. My wife will benefit from that. Nobody else here will. One of the last funerals I did in Maryland. And her son, who was in his 70s already, who had cancer but was surviving with it, came to me and said his mother had passed away. I had met her. And she was difficult to be with. She was very in a lot of pain, and so she was not a happy person, and she was very opinionated, which is fine. Most old people are. But anyway, we'd tried to talk to her. Other people had tried to talk to her. We never really understood if she got saved or not. So when we did the funeral, I usually ask for this. Can I see their Bible? If they had a Bible, let me see their Bible. Because you can learn a lot about somebody by looking at their Bible. Can't you? You can see whether it's worn out or in great shape. You can see whether there's any notes in it. I looked from cover to cover in that Bible, flipping through, couldn't find one single note. And then a little piece of paper fell out. I don't know if you all remember. Some of you are too young for this. Remember the want ads in the paper? You know, they want to sell something or they want to announce something, and they'd be little tiny want ad clipping fell out of this Bible from a Washington, D.C. newspaper. And you know what it was? It was an invitation to an evangelistic meeting by an evangelist who was going to be in D.C. for a week preaching the gospel. And then I had a little hope. At least this woman somehow, maybe she went to that meeting. We didn't see evidence of that, and that worries me because you should see some fruit. When you get saved and you don't change, I don't know if you got saved or not. The Bible says you know them by their fruit. But anyway, I thought, at least I know she knew somebody was preaching the gospel and she cared enough about that to take that little piece of paper and put it in her Bible. Maybe she went. Maybe she got saved. If you realize people need someone like Paul, someone who you could be to make that difference in their life, it'll change our priorities. That's what that word servant means. God sets my priorities. You know, those of you that have a job and you work for an employer and, they have a staff meeting or they come to you and they say, well, here's what I want you to do here, that, and they give you the list and they set your priorities. If you're a servant of God, God sets your priorities. Right. Now, you think Paul was an honest man? Yes. I do. So the very first thing he says is, Paul, a servant. Can you say that? I hope you can. You could. Amen? Let's keep going. He says, of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Called, okay, so he's a servant. That describes that who his master is, who sets the priorities in his life, who directs him. And then that second word there that we look at is the word called. He's called to be an apostle. The word apostle means one who is sent. It's really close to the word missionary. We don't use that word today to describe people because in the Bible, apostles were people that saw the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was a group of them, and it was an office. And we don't have that office in the church anymore. But we do certainly understand that we have some people that are sent. Amen? Called to be an apostle, one who is sent, a calling. Now, just a real quick thought, and that is, not everyone here is called to be a full-time Christian worker. But everyone here is called to be a full-time Christian. In other words, you may have a what we call secular job, a non-church job, where you gain your income from that source, whereas some of us, full-time means any income that we get comes from the Lord through the church. But full-time, we're all full-time Christians, amen? We just may have an occupation that we spend some of our time at. Paul was called to be an apostle. His calling was full-time to be sent, and he'll explain the rest in a minute, so I won't get ahead of myself, but I will tell you one more thing about this, is when God calls you, you'll know it. When I was going into the ministry, I was really concerned. I wanted to make sure I was called. And I went to a lot of effort to do that. And when I went to Maryland and became the pastor, I wanted to make sure I was called. And when I came here, I wanted to make sure I was called. You see, God's got specific will for your life, doesn't he? He wants you to be somewhere. He wants you to do something. There's a calling there. And if you think you're called into the ministry, and I hope you are, by the way, if you think you're called into the ministry, you need to have some confirmation from the Word of God, because if you have a calling and you know it, God called me to be a missionary, for example. If you have a calling, then when things get difficult, what you'll say is, wow, things are really hard, but I know the Bible says that we're going to have some tribulation in our life, and things are really hard, but I'm not leaving because God called me here. If you don't have that sure assurance of a calling, when things get difficult, you'll say, maybe I'm not supposed to be here. And there was a zone of time in my life when that calling kept me in place when nothing else would have. You need a calling, amen? Find out what it is. And don't give up until you do. And by the way, God's not hiding from you. He may be waiting on you to do something before he reveals his will specifically. Servant, called. Now look at this last one. Separated unto the gospel of God. That word separated from anything other than the gospel, anything opposed to the gospel, anything that detracts from the gospel. Paul was, when the Bible is pretty clear about this, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was very accomplished in the beliefs and the practices of the Pharisees. And the problem was the Pharisees thought the law could save you. Can it? No. By the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified. So Paul had to leave some things. He had to be separated from some things in order to be effective in the gospel. You know, when I was in high school, I joined the Army, and then I wound up as an officer. And when I was an officer in the Army, and some of you here have been NCOs in the Army. I don't know if anybody else here that was an officer. I'm not sure. Any O-1s, O-2s? Nope. Just a lot of NCOs. That's fine. NCOs are the backbone of the military, so that's good stuff. I was a lieutenant, and we had a uniform. And we had a way to walk and a way to salute and a way to act and a way to talk and some things you could do and some things you couldn't do. And I could find somebody in the Army or military, and I could pretty well tell you that guy's in the military. In the first place, a uniform can give them away, but even when they're in civilian clothes, they're just different. Folks, Christians ought to be different. Amen? the things that we like, the things that entertain us, the things that we seek, the things that we do, the way we appear. We ought to be different. And Paul was separated. Some things were left behind, some things that were outside of his realm of possibility, and then some things he was able to do, and they all centered around the gospel. Now, I'd love to go through 3 points instead of just one tonight, but let's just kind of finish up a little bit here because we're almost out of time. Watch this. The man used to reveal the gospel is this man named Paul. Saved in the road to Damascus, a missionary to the Gentiles, hated by the Jews. He suffered and suffered and suffered. Why? Because he did right. He did what God told him to do. Someone says, I love being a Christian. I never want to suffer. You got the wrong idea. You may possibly find yourself in a situation sometimes where being a Christian is popular, but not all the time. And I'll tell you this, the Bible says, woe unto you when all men speak well of you, doesn't it? If you want to see how Christians are going to be treated, see how they treated your master, the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not care for him because of what he stood for and what he believed and who he was. First and foremost, Paul was a servant. He found that the most important thing to reveal first. It's a fact that he would tell people about who he was. He was not his own master. Some people think they're their own master. I'll decide what I want to do. I'll decide where I'm going to go. I'll decide what happened to the Lord. Amen? James taught us what we ought to say is, if the Lord will, we will do this or that. So he's a servant. He is an apostle. He is separated to the gospel. And let's just look at one more thing. I got 2 minutes. All right, here we go. Now that parenthesis in verse 2 is just something we can talk about. He says, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. What is he talking about? The gospel. In the Old Testament, it was very cloudy. It was very dark. It was hard to see. You can read it now that you know the truth, and you read Isaiah, and you go, oh, I know what Isaiah is talking about. You read Isaiah, and he describes the crucifixion. Excellent, detailed description. And the Jews still have that passage, and they still wonder, what's this all about? I've even heard some people claim that it's not about Christ because it's just too accurate. But the gospel has been something that God's had planned all along. You see, there's a little saying we have that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Paul was able to go to the synagogue and use the Old Testament to prove that Jesus is Christ. So it's there. But do you understand what privilege we have? We live in a day when it's all been opened up. It was promised before. You got to live it. You don't have to wonder what's going to happen in the future to save you. You don't have to look forward and say to yourself, I wonder how my sins are going to be paid for, because I know that these animals that we sacrifice every year, that repetition proves to me it must not be permanent. We have permanent salvation. Jesus Christ died for us once. It's all very clear to us. So Paul said, here's the thing I am going to do. I'm going to get the word out. I have been sent. I have been called. I am a servant. And the gospel is the center of my attention. And folks, aren't you glad you know the gospel? Amen. What about the folks that don't know? Now in our room here tonight, we know. But I guarantee you, unless you stay home alone all day tomorrow, if you go out and you see people, you're going to see somebody that doesn't know. Does that make a difference? Does that matter to you? Bronson, talking about public school, if I went to a public school, and I did, and I was backslidden when I did, I'm sorry to say, I'd carry a pocket full of tracts and empty that thing every day. I'd hand out so many tracts that the principal would call me and say, what are you doing? It's easy, principal. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. It's easy, principal. I'm called. I'm sent to people with the gospel. I'm separated to the gospel. What else can I do? Here, take one. Amen? That's when people's lives will be changed. When we take it seriously and don't just know about it, but do something with it. Amen? Got to stop. We're out of time. We'll come back and keep going next week. Let's all stand, if you would, please. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed and no one looking.